I installed one password. I got it installed on my phone, no problem. I've installed, they have something called an extension.
Yes.
And so I installed that too, but what I don't, what I seem to be stuck on, I don't know how to get passwords generated for the apps that I already have.
One thing that you may or may not know about is that you can use Control Alt Backslash if you're on a website to bring up a mini version of one password so that you can fill in information.
Oh, I was doing it on the app, on the phone.
Oh, just on the phone.
Yeah, I wasn't doing it on the web. Most of what I do with accounts now is on my phone. I don't use websites anymore.
I use primarily 1Password on my Windows computer. And it's very easy for me to enter new entries on that, and then they automatically migrate to the iPhone as well as the website. I don't know how you do it on the iPhone. I will fool around with the app on the phone and see if we can figure out how to do it.
So this is about upgrading to JAWS 2019. This has happened on 2 computers this last week. One, a trainee who I'm working with at Carroll Center, and Deanne sitting next to me. Both of them had JAWS 2018, the most recent update of that. And then I worked with them both to upgrade to JAWS 2019. For the trainee, when we would go back to JAWS 2018, it would come in as 2019. There's no way we could reopen JAWS 2018. So she has 2 2019s. And with Deanne, did the same thing, and everything stayed stuck as 2018.
Does it matter how you launch it? If you come up on your desktop and you load whatever JAWS version loads automatically, if you have one, whether you're launching it with a shortcut key or whether you're launching it by using the run option.
I even typed in JAWS 2018 or JAWS 2019 in the Windows in the search box.
Yes.
There's no way I could did it like in a whole bunch of times in a bunch of different ways.
Okay.
It wouldn't get the, I mean, the obvious solution is to get rid of one. In the past, you could have previous versions, and of course, you always sort of like to have a previous version around for a little while.
It may not work, but it might be worth just doing it with the Windows key R and typing in JAWS 2018 or JAWS 2019.
That's what I was suggesting.
Because that way you're running the executable file directly instead of using a shortcut.
That's what I was trying to suggest.
Okay, so Windows key R to bring up the run dialog.
Windows R.
Okay. Yep.
And then just type JAWS 2019.
No spaces.
Or JAWS 2018. Yeah. Whichever one you want.
Okay.
Yep. No spaces, all lowercase.
So I've recently gotten the iPhone XS, and before that I had the iPhone 8, and I'm still finding that the Face ID doesn't work nearly as reliably as the Touch ID, and I probably have to put my code in at least 5 to 10 times a day, if not more. Maybe I asked Jonathan Mosen also, but I mean, I'm wondering if anybody that has one or that's read anything of people that if it's definitely less efficient, or if some people have gotten it where it's, you know, just as quick as
it's definitely less efficient, and I would report it to Apple because I've already done it. I've reported it to Apple Accessibility. I've had the exact same experience, and I know it's not iOS 12 problem because I have a work phone as well, and it's a different version, and I don't have the problem with that. My Face ID on the work phone with the same software version of iOS, but it appears to be a 10S issue.
Make sure there's some natural light of some sort in the room. Maybe it doesn't have to be natural, but...
The other thing, and it's as well as still, feels like you have a real sense of where the camera's actually looking. I know, and I think it may have been Jonathan Mosen had said this, that, you know, put the basically at the screen at your nose, or you know, touching your nose, almost touching your nose, and bring the phone straight out. Sometimes it gets a better sense of where the camera's actually looking.
I have a Braille screen input question that I've been dealing with for a while, and I can't seem to get an answer. When I'm trying to use screen away mode, my dot positions seem to be inverted, and I did not, you know, I don't have that option turned on. But if I'm using it in tabletop mode, I don't have the problem. So like what I'm seeing is like my dot 1 and 4 are at the bottom of the screen, and dot 3 and 6 are at the top in screen away mode.
Isn't there a way to recalibrate the Braille screen? I remember listening to an interview on the Blind Side podcast with Judy Dixon, and I thought she mentioned there might be a way to recalibrate the Braille, you know, the bright screen input settings?
Yeah, you usually calibrate every time you, after you've moved your fingers off it and start again.
I never do that.
Ah, well, there you go.
Well, because I was always told that you don't have to do that, so I never did.
I don't know, but it only takes 2 seconds to recalibrate, so I'll definitely try it.
Maybe you can even, you know, ask Apple, or even better yet, if you can, Judy Dixon seems to be an expert on it, so you might be able to ask her if she has any tips.
Well, this is about television. If one is unfortunate enough to have to use a cable service that doesn't have the nice thing like Comcast to read you everything, is there anything you can run the cable through, like a, you know, an Apple TV or anything, to be able to read you the menus and stuff?
Apple TV would read the Apple TV menus to you.
I mean, there's alternative streaming services that you can use, but what cable company are you with?
Well, this is down in Florida, and it's something I'm sort of stuck with called Summit.
I mean, a lot of people cut the cord and they just use streaming services instead of using the traditional cable, and those tend to be accessible with an antenna, you know, for the local channels.
Yeah. Jim, have you asked Summit as to what accessibility do you have?
They claim, you know, of course, they're going to work on it.
It may not be such a bad idea to look up, what was it, Section 255 of the FCC code, just to see if they actually, you know, are subject to that rule. Because even if they're not and they're working on it, you know, maybe it could be like a beta tester or something like that.
And you also probably have an agency that oversees your cable company, so you could contact them and they might be able to get your issue a little more traction with the, you know, because if you're just calling into customer service, they probably don't know anything about it. But if you go, you know, I don't know what the agency would be in Florida, but some entity in the government, you know, oversees your town or area's cable.
Well, or the town has a contract. Whatever town you're in must have a contract. You might find out what town official is responsible for that contract with the cable company.
And also the FCC handles disability complaints, and it's a pretty easy process. So they basically, if you complain to them, they'll send this company a notification and try to work with both of you to come up with a solution. But they usually act on them pretty quickly, at least to get the ball rolling.